Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Let us now listen to the story of the coming of the Holy Spirit as it is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. I'll be reading from chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 at this moment, and then we'll read a little further in the story after we get into the sermon. So listen now for what the Spirit says to the church. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, what just happened? What does this manifestation of the Holy Spirit long ago have to do with us and our future? What just happened? That's always the question, isn't it? When life keeps throwing its curves, as life always does, and God shows up not to fix our problems, but to fill us and send us with a story to tell. What just happened when tongues of fire descended on unsuspecting disciples and then spread like wildfire to set the world ablaze? Wildfire is a word that typically conjures images of devastation. We think about fires that sweep through vast areas, consuming everything in their path, forests, wildlife, homes, even churches, as we witnessed this week when fire tragically consumed the historic Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in Milwaukee. Playing with fire can be dangerous. However, years ago, when we lived in Kansas, I learned about another kind of wildfire. Every spring, we'd smell the smoke in the air and know that the controlled burn of the prairies was underway. A prairie burn is an amazing sight. The fire snakes through dry thatch until it explodes in a sea of flames. When the burn is done, the landscape looks like a wasteland, bleak, covered with black ash, and completely dead. What just happened? The burn removed old growth and thatch, helped prevent the spread of invasive plant species, returned nutrients to the soil, and promoted germination of dormant seeds. It may have looked for all the world like the enemy of aliveness, but actually the fire is essential and life-giving for a healthy prairie. So the Spirit comes, so she shows up, not to take away our problems, but to burn away anything that would hold back the momentum of the love God wants to give the world. So the Spirit comes to ignite a movement among those whom Jesus chose to continue his mission of bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. So the Spirit comes to those who are anxious about their future, giving us a story to tell. Craig Barnes, president of Princeton Theological Seminary, says that everywhere he goes, people are worried about the future of the church. He says he worries too. Like many of us, he worries because of the many people who used to fill the pews of mainline congregations who long ago decided that the church has little relevancy to their souls, worn down by work, family, and a world that seems to be coming apart at the seams. According to Dr. Barnes, these people didn't leave in a huff. They didn't nail up 95 theses that called for reform. They simply wandered away and found that a Sunday morning spent with the New York Times or cheering for a child's soccer game came closer to a Sabbath than what they found in a sanctuary. Crossroads, we are not alone. The things that cause us worry about the future of our church are a source of anxiety all over this land. The thing is, observes Craig Barnes, the church has never looked less attractive than when it dresses in anxiety. Little good comes from getting fixated on the empty pews, he continues. The mainline Protestant church has to stop fretting about its future. The anxiety takes up the air and leaves the church too lethargic to offer anything to the world. It's a tragic irony, Dr. Barnes observes, for the mainline church to be anxious about its future when we're supposed to be a people who have already given up our lives. The church belongs to Jesus, and its future is in his hands. Fretting about our viability only distracts us from the one thing that has ever given us purpose and life, keeping up with Jesus, who on Pentecost showed up in the form of wind and fire that transformed once timid disciples into bold witnesses. When the Spirit came, they very well may have been watching and waiting for someone to come and fix their problems, but that's not what happened. Instead, they heard the sound of a wind very much like the Spirit that moved over the watery chaos at the beginning of creation, calling forth order and life. They felt its force sweep through the room and flood their bodies with its energy, invisible but unmistakably palpable, calling them to life again. Life, as Jesus was stirring it up among those huddled in that upper room and also among the crowds gathered on the streets below. Instead of someone coming to fix their problems, fiery tongues hovered over their heads, and something they could not ignore burned in their hearts. And when they opened their mouths, they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Listen to what happened next, as it is recorded in verses 5 through 13 of Acts chapter 2. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." So what just happened? Well, curiosity happened. For some heard this strange phenomenon and instead of rushing to judgment, simply asked, "What does this mean?" A question that opened the way for the story of Jesus to be told. And candle snuffing happened as well, for there were others who saw the spark and felt the energy and heard the cacophony of languages and without giving it a moment's thought, made up their own story about it, no questions asked. Faced with something they could not explain, they tried to shut it down. Their minds locked in on one and only one explanation, that this behavior could only be of those who had been upstairs drinking. What just happened? Wildfire. Not the enemy of aliveness, but exactly what was needed, the right gift at the right time to ignite the movement that would take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Right gift, right time, because devout Jews from every nation under heaven had come that day to Jerusalem. So now the disciples have a new problem. They can't stay inside. Now that the Spirit has put the words in their mouths and the emotions in their hearts, they have to go out. They have to go out and tell their story. In our weekly pastor's Bible study this past week, as we talked about the experience of the disciples on Pentecost, people in the group spontaneously began telling their stories about Spirit-filled moments they remember here at Crossroads. All the way back to the beginning, when the charter members made a tough decision to forego building on a property that had been donated and chose instead to buy and build here at these crossroads. Wherefore, all of the decades that followed, you have been occupied with loving God, loving each other, and loving your neighbors. The dedication of this sanctuary was mentioned, as well as the original sanctuary upstairs. So were celebrations that shine a light on the faces and voices and gifts of our children and youth, especially memories about experiences like Vacation Bible School. The day you voted to confirm Scott Hauser as your pastor was also lifted up in the memory of a moment when the Spirit sparked a doxology. So what do these experiences have in common, I asked the group. Well, they marked culminating moments in seasons when the people of Crossroads had not been wringing their hands about the future, but doing what the church does best, living and giving fully in the present, engaging, even sacrificing for the sake of Christ's mission in this place. In each of these Spirit-filled experiences, you could see it in the faces of those gathered. You could feel it in the energy generated by gifts of time and money, sparks fueled by the wind of the Spirit to create something alive and life-giving here, something you could count on when you needed to feel loved and supported. As I listened, I wondered, is anybody worried that the Spirit has left Crossroads? I wanted to banish that thought as soon as it came to me, but the question wouldn't let me go. Is this why we hear people say they are waiting for someone to come and fix the church's problems? Is this why some have said they're stepping back, stepping away, or sitting on the fence? Is this why there's so much anxiety about the future of Crossroads? The thing is, you can't hold back the Spirit of Jesus. It's way too late for that. Amazingly, inexplicably, Jesus chose the church, people like you and me, to continue his mission of bringing the kingdom of justice, joy, and love to visibility on earth as it is in heaven. And then he gave us everything we need to do exactly that, the right gifts at the right time to set our world ablaze. I don't believe for a minute that the Spirit has left Crossroads. In fact, I believe the solutions we seek are here among us now, in the charred and blackened soil beneath our very own feet. Like a prairie fire, the Spirit comes and is breathtakingly inclusive, leaving no one out and creating the conditions that are life-giving for the thriving of the gospel in this place. The Spirit comes with everything we need: compassion, courage, strength, love, right gifts, right time for us. We don't have to wait a minute more. But we do have a problem. We have to stop fretting about our future and let the spark the Spirit has ignited in each of us out, where it can be caught by the wind and carried to the people who need to be touched by the story we have to tell about the Jesus we have known. I'm thinking about the spark that draws you here and pulses through our prayers and our songs each Sunday as we gather for worship. This spark prompts parents to bring children to the font where in baptism they are marked as Christ's own forever, and it nourishes us, sometimes to the point of tears in our eyes, each time we come to the table Jesus has prepared for us. And then, when it lands in our hearts through God's word, we can't remain the same. I'm thinking about the spark that landed in the already full and fulfilling lives of the men and women who said yes to serving on the pastor nominating committee. And to those we just elected this morning and will ordain and install to serve as elders and deacons, the spark that will lead us and care for us and help us keep up with Jesus today. We could also speak of the spark that sends many of you into the city and other places to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, tutor children, engage in conversation about race, march in protest. Not to mention the spark that gets your attention time and time again and convicts you to give more of your time, more of your money, more of your energy, more of your love for the sake of something that both you and God care about. It's Pentecost. So the Spirit comes to move the church into new relationships and to generate what just happened experiences that some will recognize as the acts of God and others may try to shut down. But when we allow the Spirit to have its way with us, wow, do we have a story we can't help but tell. Years ago, I got to direct a counselor in training camp at a beautiful Presbyterian camp in the Finger Lakes region of New York. It was one of my favorite things to do every summer, to see how the Spirit's gifts would be activated among these young people learning to be leaders. One night, we had planned a campfire and outdoor games for a group of third-grade campers. Everybody was especially looking forward to the s'mores. But when the time came, the heavens opened and a downpour began. Thunder rumbled, lightning crackled, and we went running for shelter in a lodge. It was time to improvise as we shifted to indoor games. But soon enough, the storm passed, and we went back outside to the spot where we had planned our campfire. Much to my surprise, there stood Laura, one of our CITs, draped in a poncho next to a roaring campfire. What just happened? I couldn't believe it. How was this fire possible given the storm? And then Laura said something I will never forget. As long as there is more fire than rain, she said, you can keep a fire going, even in a downpour. And so all through the storm, she'd stood there, feeding sticks into the flame, stoking the fire, blowing on the embers, even as the rain came down. What a powerful message for a church that can sometimes be consumed with worry about its future. The spark of the Spirit is the energy of God's love given to the church in every age. Our part is to feed the fire with the sticks of our lives and to fan the flames that flare up among us. And then in our words and in our actions, to let the Spirit out. In your listening, in your speaking, in your loving, as the spark of the Spirit in you lands in the tinder where someone is waiting for new life, by the power of the Spirit, we just might get wildfire. So the question of the day, the problem the Spirit comes to create among us is this. How could you let out the Spirit that has sparked something in you? Where will you go? What will you do? Who could you touch today with the strength, courage, compassion, and story you have to tell? in your answers to these questions, God is already taking care of the future for Crossroads. Yes, it's Pentecost. Thanks be to God. Amen.